I often think about the power of God's word, and sometimes fail to live up to those words because of the power that they have. And sometimes I ask myself, why don't I live up to the power of the words that I know, that I read and study? And to be reminded of some things even today in such a wonderful lesson, it demonstrates to us that there's a God in heaven that truly loves us and sent his son to demonstrate that. I will say I would be amiss as one of the shepherds to not mention the great lesson that was given to us by our dear brother Braswell concerning the Lord's Supper. And I'm not going to even look at him because he's one of those type of guys that he doesn't want to be called out, but the Bible teaches us to give honor to whom honor, and let another man praise thee. But the words that he spoke, demonstrating what Christ was willing to do, and one of the points that really stuck out to me was that he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And that's key. Because if we're going to apply the word of God, if we're going to make good application in the communication that God has given us in his holy writ, then we have to commit ourselves to him that judges righteously. And that's so important. It's so important for us to have a resolve that we're going to deny ourselves on a daily basis. It's so important for all of us to have a resolve that we're going to truly walk in the steps of Jesus Christ. To be as what the Apostle Paul would say, follow me even as I follow Christ. I know we often refer to some of those passages of Scripture, and I understand the gravity of those Scriptures. Yet, the older we all get, hopefully there is more of an appreciation for the applications of God's Word. That as we stand before the feet of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, and we listen to his Father, friends, I can't help but to think about the communication that he has given to all of us. And it's just like a mother, a father, that communicates to their children. And it's so important for you to establish that gravity, that weight. And so when you speak, your children will at least give heed, will at least listen, and perhaps even go as far as to apply what has been said. And so I want us to speak for a couple of minutes on tonight, and hopefully I'll get some feedback from some of you concerning the applications in communication. And everything that we're going to be talking about this evening is going to anchor up into heaven. And the reason why I say it that way is because when I think about communication, I think about communication, number one, with God's word, and number two, with ourselves, and then number three, with those in the world, and number four, with our brethren. No particular order, but just wanted to put it out there that way. And when we think about this, I want us to be considering how, as the people of God, that when we communicate with others about God's word, we are doing our best to live out the word of God in our lives, to be examples that others can see and perhaps even want to follow after Christ, but then to be able to communicate that word with ourselves and really talk with ourselves about God's word. And the more I thought about that, I thought about how even David had to communicate with himself, how he had to encourage himself. 1 Samuel 30 and verse number 6, in the Lord his God. And so when we think about this, I want us to be considering some of these things, and I really want you to be mindful that there is a time in which we have to talk to ourselves. And it made me think about the prodigal son in Luke 15, verses 11 through 17, when his father had given him all of his inheritance because he asked for it. And then he went out and he squandered it on riotous living. But then the Bible tells us in verse number 17, I believe it is that he came to himself. He spoke to himself. He talked to himself. He communicated with himself. And so that caused me to think about some things as well. And so when we're communicating with our God, communicating with our brethren, communicating with ourselves, communicating with those who are in the world, there's some things that I truly believe we need to be mindful of as well. So number one, when we think about communication with God, because our communication with ourselves, our communication with our fellow man, our communication with our brethren, our communication with our... It depends on our communication with God. And so four things, if you're taking notes. Number one, and I believe these are in order, it requires us as the people of God to read. You've got to be able to read God's word. Meaning that you are familiarizing yourselves with the words of God. The idea of rereading. Brother Evan, I was privileged to go to Ballinger this Wednesday because they have Bible class on Wednesday afternoons at noon. And he was talking about giving yourselves over to the reading. And the idea of reading there is to know again. And I thought that was pretty interesting, him bringing that point out. Reading, giving yourself over to the reading, to know again. So not only are you learning, but perhaps you already know something, but you're learning it again. You're being reminded again. And this is why when we think about this Bible, the scriptures, it's a living book. And that we get to learn over and over again. That's why reading the Bible should never get boring to the child of God. Because you are learning over and over again. Number two, prayer. Prayer. And I'm putting it in this order because as the people of God, in order for me to communicate with God through his son, Jesus Christ, and we'll talk about that more here in a few minutes, I got to know what I'm praying for. I have to pray according to the will of God. And so with that being said, the only way for us to know the will of God, Brother Brian, we got to go to the Bible, the word of God. God tells us what to pray for. Well, Brother Michael, what about that passage where it says that we don't know what we should pray for? But according to the Spirit's teaching, he tells us that we must pray within his will. And we find his will in the scriptures. And so we'll talk more about that. Number three, studying. This is not just rereading, but this is actually delving deeper into ideas and concepts and words. And the reason why we're talking about this is because if we're going to apply God's word, we have to familiarize ourselves with the details of God. Details. Some things are just hard to get just by mere reading. There's some things you have to stop and say, okay, what does this mean? And on many occasions, Jesus would say, go learn what that means. What does your law say? Which demonstrates that you have to spend some time looking and evaluating and considering the context and historical background. And we're not going to get into all of that. However, that's a little bit different than just reading. And then finally, meditation. Because meditation helps us to not only focus on the specifics, like just one thing, but at times we can we can concentrate on many things at one time, and then we can hone in on one thing. And so I want us to consider that, and I want some of your thoughts on some of these, because if we're truly going to communicate with God and communicate with ourselves and communicate with our fellow man and communicate with our brethren properly, it's going to require us having good communication with God. And so I would be wrong if I were to take credit for this, so I'm not. But that's why it's good to have brethren. That's why it's good to talk about God's word with brethren. That's why it's good to use your two ears and close your one mouth at times so you can hear what brethren have to say, good brethren. Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 5. So yesterday, I was privileged to sit down with Corey Hall, and we usually find opportunities to sit down and chat, and it's always good, you know. It's always encouraging. I always learn something every time I sit down with him, all the time. You need good people like that in your life. You need Christians in your life that when you sit down and y'all are talking, spiritual things come up, and they have something to offer you, and you have something to offer them. He's one of those people. I mean, it just never fails that when I sit down with him, I'm going to learn something. He's going to learn something as well, but I'm going to learn something. In order for good communication to take place, access must be given. He brought that point up. I'm like, wow. God gives us access to him, but we must give access to him too. In Romans chapter 5, let me choose Dietrich. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Let's begin there. And we're going to discuss some of these things, and I believe it'll be worthy of us considering, because God has given us access to him, and this should encourage us to give him access to us. Okay? Access to us. Now, I know for a fact, now I'm just going to, Jaden did a great job saying, Jaden. And I like that because I do that from time to time. I'm just going to talk about me. You talk about you. But every now and then, Brother Freisinger, I don't give God access to me. That happens. Every now and then, I don't want to hear what God has to say because I get stubborn sometimes. But I'm not the only one. I know better than that. I'm not the only one. Oh, this is practical. Sometimes I don't give God access, and then I have to turn around and say, Father, I'm sorry for not allowing you to govern my life at that particular time. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, what does the Bible say?
Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, but it is because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
God has given us access. In other words, that word literally means he has given us admission. He has brought us close to him. And he did that through his son, Jesus Christ. Now put this in your notes just so we can go on. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, we understand that Jesus Christ is our mediator. He's our go-between. He's the one that God uses to give us access to him. John 14, verse 6. He's the one that as we are worshiping God in spirit and in truth, 1 Peter 2 and verse number 5, all spiritual sacrifices are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. He gives us access to him. What an honor. What an honor. Friends, don't overlook that. Don't take that for granted. Don't neglect that. It's an honor to be able to approach a holy God, and he did it through his son, Jesus the Christ. What an honor. He has given us access. He has given us admission. And I remember when I was a kid and mom and dad used to drop all of us off at the movie theater, and they would give us a couple of dollars a piece. And back that at that time, Brian, admission was $1.25. I remember that. And they would give us like $3 or $4 for popcorn and stuff like that. And there's four or five of us, and they're giving us money. And you couldn't get into that movie unless you gave them their ticket. And then they would tear that ticket in half and give you the one, and you put it in your pocket. And if you left to go get some condiments or some popcorn or something, you had to show that admission ticket again. Jesus is that admission ticket. He's the one that we go through. He's the one that God has chosen to give us access to him. Now, to turn to 1 Peter 3 and verse number 12. Brother Daniel, you mind reading 1 Peter 3 and verse 12.
The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. The face of the Lord is against them
that do evil. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Friends, access to God requires us being righteous. It requires us paying attention to the one who is righteous. Kipton, I need you to get a passage. Ephesians 3, verse 4. And Proverbs 4 and verse number 7. Get Proverbs 4 and verse number 7. All right. Now, having access to God is so important. And so my question to us, my question to myself is, how important is that access? How important is it for me to keep that access? Or do I have the attitude, well, I used to have it, I don't have it as much as I did back in the beginning, but you know, it's not really that big of a deal. It is a big deal, friends. It's a big deal to maintain access with God. And we do that by being righteous. Why? Because the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. We don't want his face to be against us. We close off access when we're not being faithful to God. And so, again, the more I thought about this, I thought about how can the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 14, Acts 13 rather, let me make sure, because I don't want to give you the wrong reference. Acts chapter 14, verses 19 and 20. How can a man like that get beaten, left for dead, drug out of the city, and then get up, brother, and say, I'm going to go right back to the place where I got the beating, and I'm going to preach? And not only did he preach, he exhorted the brethren, he strengthened them, he appointed elders in every place. How could he do that? I go back to Brother Braswell's devotional over the Lord's Supper this morning, because he committed to him that judges righteously. Brother Glenn, thank you for that lesson. Thank you for reminding us that our Lord committed himself to God just like we need to. And when we do that, we give God access to us. God has already given us access to him. Now we need to give him access to us. And Brother Royce, this has to go on every day. Every day I have to make up my mind, I'm going to give him access. But how do I do that? Kipton, Ephesians 3 and verse number 4, by reading. We give God access to us when we allow God to strengthen our understanding through reading. Go ahead, Kipton. Now, I wish I had time to deal with all of that, but I have somewhere to go with this. Paul said, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. How can I understand what Paul understood unless I read what Paul wrote? Are y'all with me? It's important. It's important for us to read the scriptures. That's where the power is. The power is in the Word of God, where we obtain the knowledge, where we obtain the understanding, and where we obtain the wisdom. Any questions? Yes, Brother Royce.
Paul writing to Timothy, I believe, 1 Timothy chapter 3 or 4, one or the other. And he told Timothy to give attention to reading.
That's right.
Because there's a reason for that. Because without the reading, we don't get understanding.
No. Amen. Anyone else? Yes, Brother Eric. That's right. That's right. That's right. Brother Royce.
It also brought to mind when you were talking about, you know, read it because we have an opportunity to relearn. What it does, it made me think about 2 Peter. In chapter 1, Paul said, I mean, Peter would write this, for this reason I will not be negligent to remind you what, even though you already know these things.
That's a good point.
You know them and you're established in those present truths. Well, rereading them helps strengthen you in those established truths.
Right.
Yes, I know the plan of salvation. But if I will reread that periodically, it just reaffirms what God's Word has to say. It re-strengthens me, if you will.
Amen. Anyone else? Again, remember, God has given us access. Now we have to give Him access. No reading, no access. If I don't read God's Word, I don't give God access to my life. Because how do I think on, how do I understand, how do I apply if I don't know? Gauge. Proverbs 4, verse 7. Good. Good job. So we allow God to communicate with us when we understand His word, understand His will. Chad, give me Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 15 through 17. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. Remember, giving God access to us through reading, which gives us understanding, which Brother Leon helps us to walk straight, which helps us to pay attention, to see things that are in front of us, that we're not falling and tripping and stumbling over things in life. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17.
See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, since the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
One thing I love about those passages there, brethren, we can understand God's will. We can understand the will of the Lord, but it comes through reading. It comes through understanding. It comes to allowing God to communicate with us, but we have to communicate with Him. Again, we brought out Paul earlier, but I think about the lesson on this morning. Again, Jesus is at the well with the woman there. And I love how Jaden didn't refer to her as the woman, but hey, the sinner that was at the well, which means that it could be just about anybody who has their lives in turmoil. And here we are after a long journey, and now someone is communicating with us, and now we're communicating with them, and we can communicate the will of God to them. We can do that, but it comes through reading. It comes through reading. And so, I want to give this one little point, and then we'll move on. I want to, you may have Grant, Psalm 62, verse 8. Lance, Psalm 6, verse 6. Eli, Psalm 56, verse 8. And then Bradley. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, 19 and 20. And I'll get to y'all there in a second. But in reading, sir.
Sorry, you mentioned not stumbling.
Yes, yes.
And right after you had David read Proverbs 47, Kevin Bowman talking about the wisdom that was given to the son in verse 10. Walk your steps, will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Keep her God wants you to do.
That's great.
You're not going to trip. You're not going to fall. You don't know where to go.
Excellent. I wrote that down. I appreciate that. Good point. Great point. When we're reading and allowing God to communicate with us by giving him access, now watch this, we allow God to impress his character upon us. We allow God to impress his character upon us. Romans 6, verse 17, Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. Now, remember, we're talking about applications in communication. That if I'm going to talk to myself, I got to be able to tell myself the right things. It is so draining when you're talking to people and it's nothing that you can do to get them to come up. You got to be able to tell yourself the right things. And I know this for a fact because of Luke chapter 15 with the prodigal son. And here he's rehearsing in his mind. He's talking to himself. Well, he talked himself away from his dad's house, and he talked himself to go back home to his dad's house, which tells me that just as I can talk myself into doing that which is wrong or not wise, I can talk myself into doing that which is wise and good and glorious to Almighty God. Amen? Any comments? Any comments?
You know, just the bad negative things that I'm not good enough, or I can never do that, or I can never achieve that. Well, how many friends would you have if that's what you were saying?
No wonder Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Excellent point. Anyone else? Anyone else? The next one is prayer. Reading and prayer. Through prayer, we allow God to have access to our hearts. Access to our hearts. Psalm 62 and verse number 8. Who has that? Go ahead.
Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us.
Psalm 6, verse 6. Who has that? Go ahead.
I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears.
Mm. Psalm 56, verse 8. Who has that?
You know who I'm wondering. Tears into your bottle, are they not in your book?
Second Chronicles 6, 19 through 20. Bradley. Thank you. Now, remember, God has given us access to him, but we must give him access to us. The first passage that I had read was the psalmist saying that he's pouring out his heart. Now, I want you to ask yourself, when is the last time that I just poured out my heart to God? Just ask yourself that. Not your spouse, no one else. When is the last time you made your bed to swim? When is the last time you remember that God puts your tears in a bottle? Wow, that's beautiful right there. And here you have David, and he's pouring his heart out, rather. Put your name in this place. Friends, I want to encourage us and really we don't pray enough. You gotta pour your heart out. Sir.
Sometimes we have to step back and think about where we're at historically.
Yeah.
21st century. Go back before the 1930s, before Social Security and various governmental measures in this country as a culture. Yeah. People lived off of survival. They didn't think in terms like we do. We're in the same country that everybody was in then, but we're not the same people. We have so many different charities. I mean, it's real hard to starve to death in this country because you're going to end up with some kind of a security net. So I say all that to say this. When you analyze these scriptures in the Bible context, they weren't operating under the securities of the United States of America. They were operating under the pure securities of God's holiness, righteousness, and His promises. So, our dependency today. We have to admit that our dependency today is not, our sufficiency is not of God. So we don't pray. Because we know we're going to sufficiently likely be taken care of. So to your point, how do you overcome the great deception of the security of the United States of America in the 21st century, the culture we live in, the roof we have over our heads, the family, the friends, the church, to still yet be completely and 100% sufficient upon God? Royce made a comment in Bible class this morning about you start to get older, you start to realize you've got nothing on your own.
Nothing.
You're not here because you were so amazing. Someone helped you, or someone, and if you don't recognize that, the older you get, you're of all men most miserable, especially if you don't recognize the Christ. Anyway, I just thought about that.
When that man said this morning that you achieved death, I'm like, goodness. Yeah, that's what we earned. For the wages of sin is death. You earned that. You achieved that. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You receive that. Which means that we can't go before God and say, you owe me. No, because what I owe you, you're not going to receive if you do what I say. Now, that's maturity, brethren. That's what parents ought to be teaching their children. Yeah, I brought you into this world. And everything you have is because I gave it to you. But you can lose it. You need to appreciate it. And so the more I think about how could the Apostle Paul turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through verse number 7, and we can go through a plethora of scriptures, many scriptures, and no wonder Paul could say, I am that I am by the grace of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. I mean, how can he say that? Because he committed himself to him that judges righteously. Because he gave full access to God. Because he took advantage of the full access that God gave him. Brother Royce, you mind reading? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. And I often ponder this, Brother James, because I ask myself, how do we receive the strength and the courage and the wisdom to encourage other people? That's because we have given God access to our lives to encourage us, to comfort us, to give us consolation, to give us that which is necessary in order to live this life so we can turn around and give it to others. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, what does that say, Brother Royce?
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effected for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or, if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation.
Thank you. In other words, Paul said, we can give y'all comfort because God comforted us. But hold on. Brother Leon, Paul allowed him to be comforted. He allowed himself to be comforted. So when someone else needed some comfort, he had enough in him to give to them. And my mama said all the time when I was young, boy, you can't give away something you don't have. That's why it's so important for us to allow God to comfort us. How? Through the scriptures. How? Through one another. How? New Testament worship. How? I mean, you just keep on going. And so the reason why I'm able to give is because I'm allowing God to give it to me. Yes, ma'am. Excellent. That's right. Anyone else? Good, great point. Anyone else? Anyone want to add to that?
Well, I'll add to it.
Yes.
If you're not in the scriptures, you won't want to be around your brethren who are, because when you get around them, you don't understand them. So, in my experience as a preacher and working with various congregations, the divisions I've experienced in church of Christ were just because of that. They weren't in the doctrines, they were in their own minds.
That's right.
So they really didn't like each other. It was just an obligation or a matter of necessity, just like giving or anything else.
Yep.
And therefore, you'll never be happy.
That's right.
That's your...
So our pouring out our hearts to God in prayer, making our bed to swim, understanding that God puts our tears in his bottle. Friends, that's because we have allowed God to have access. But look at this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, sorry, 2. Verse 7 and verse number 11, just for time's sake. Let me have Luke Motherwell. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 7. Read 7 and 8, and then also verse number 11. Now listen to the intimacy. Listen to what Paul says, how he saw his brethren and what he wanted them to have from him. What does that say, brother?
But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children, so affectionately longing for you. We were all pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become dear to us.
Amen. Verse 11.
As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children.
Good. Did y'all see the terms of endearment there? What were the terms of endearment that he used? A nursing mother and a what? Wow. Friends, we have to pour out our hearts to God. And then that will position us to help one another. Any comments? Number 3, studying. I'm just going to put this out here. I'm going to let y'all deal with it. 2 Timothy 2:15. We know what that says. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Search the scriptures, John 5:39. But look at 2 Peter chapter 1, 16 through 21. Remember, God has given us access to him, but we have to allow him to have access to us. But Brother Mike, what happens when I just don't understand it? What happens when I'm studying and it just takes months and years to come to an understanding? Well, Leon, let's read that. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21, what does the Bible say? Now, Kipton is a real good athlete. I've seen him. Different sports. But he wasn't good because he played it once, right? Wasn't good because you practiced once, right? Oh, you kept practicing, right? Kept playing, correct? And then you got better, right? Oh, you know, getting understanding is the same way. In verse number 19, just keep on reading, keep on studying until the day dawn, until it starts to make sense. Sometimes life doesn't make sense. Sometimes it doesn't make sense that the evil always prospers and we're trying to do what's right and we're not. Sometimes that doesn't make any sense. Sometimes life doesn't make sense. But Peter, by inspiration, says you just keep at it till the day dawn, until it makes sense. Keep at it till it makes sense. And sometimes life doesn't make sense. Brother Roy said something in his message, and he swears up and down we don't listen to him, but we really do. You know, you can be married and rocking along, everything's going well, and you've been married 25, 30 years, and then you hit a bump in the road and be like, what happened? Life didn't make sense. I'd be like, hold on, I thought we had all this worked out. We ought to have been going to glory. But every now and then, bumps in the road take place in life. Sometimes things don't make any sense. But when you have given God access to your life, everything don't have to make sense right then. You trust him. And it reminds me, Brother Brian wants to say something. It reminds me of what Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Brother Brian.
Yeah, Luke chapter 2, verse 19 says, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart.
Yes.
Surrounding all the wonderful things, the birth of her son Jesus, the Son of God, all the prophecies she was hearing, Simeon in that context, and Anna will talk about the sword shall pierce through thine own soul. Day dawn.
Yep.
You have to be patient.
Gotta be patient.
If you go to the last chapter, chapter 3, it gets on to the people there that wrestle or twist the scriptures to their own
destruction.
Because they're not pondering.
That's right.
They get too impatient. That's the story of the Old Testament. All these characters around David,
right.
they act rashly, split the kingdom. We need to be patient. We don't control the world around us, but we can control ourselves.
Any other comments? Appreciate that. So I'll leave you with this. Psalm 143. Ariola, I want you to read that. But it reminds me, and again, this is why you have to have good brethren around you. They give you things to think about. In the book of Job, remember all of the calamity that took place in his life. And the Bible teaches us that Job and his friends were sitting for 7 days and they said nothing. Job's sitting there meditating, thinking about his life. Why are these things happening? Why did I lose all these things? What's going on? And then in Job 3:1, he breaks with words. And one thing about meditation, it just can't stay in your mind. You gotta speak it. I got all these thoughts, and you know, some people love their thoughts and some people don't. And Job said, I got to get these thoughts out. And what did he do? He began speaking with his three friends. But in Psalm 143 and verse number 5, what does the Bible say? Yes, verse 5. Psalm 143. Verse 5.
I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands.
All right, read it again, and not meditate, but meditate. Read it again.
I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands.
Thank you. So the word meditate means to moan, to utter, to growl, to speak to oneself. The word muse means to put forth, to commune, to study, to consider, to put forth your thoughts. Two different words, similar ideas, And my father-in-law said something to me when I first got married. He said, son, if you don't learn how to talk to yourself, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Y'all need to listen. We got too many people allowing other folk to talk to them instead of you talking to yourself. Young people, listen. You better learn how to talk to yourself. You got to talk to yourself. You got to tell yourself the right things and talk yourself into the right things, because if not, you'll talk yourself into the wrong things. And wisdom is justified by her children. Fruit don't lie. What are you thinking about? What are you meditating on? What are you pondering on? And so here the psalmist talks about meditating day and night, Psalm 1-2. Every single day he's meditating, thinking upon his bed. And so the bed should be used to meditate, to think. Now I know studies prove that you should put your device somewhere, and I think Brian brought this out last week or the week before. Instead of next to your bed, it ought to be somewhere else. That's hard. But I have learned, and I'll say this, I have learned that when your phone is not in your room next to your bed, and you're just sitting there laying down thinking and pondering, you sleep good. At least I do. But when sitting there scrolling all night, then I finally go to sleep. It's hard to go to sleep. It's something about meditating on the bed, something about pondering, thinking. Now, let me say this, giving God access to your heart before you go to sleep that night. And again, when we was kids, mom and dad used to teach us how to pray. And this is what they used to teach us. Now lay me down to sleep. I pray my soul. I pray my Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray my Lord my soul to take. And then they say, now go ahead and start praying for everybody. God bless mommy. God bless daddy. God bless the teachers. And we used to throw in our puppies and all of that. We used to pray for everything as kids. Are we talking to God before we go to sleep at night? Are we giving God access to us before we go to bed that every night? Friends, I ask that y'all pray for me, because sometimes I don't. I need to. Give God access. He has granted us access. Grant him access. And then that will help us as we are talking with one another, laboring with one another, dealing with each other. Yes, Brother Leon.
When it comes to meditation,
yes. You good? Go ahead.
I've been thinking about, you know, us talking about giving access to God. God has given us access to Him. And a lot of times in these lessons, I try to think of what is practical or how can I apply this to myself. And what is it that we are giving access to? And in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, we are giving access to our attention. And we have God's attention when we go to Him. We have His intent to absorb what we are giving Him. And when we read His word, we are giving Him our attention. We are giving Him our intent to absorb what He has to say to us. When we communicate with each other,
oftentimes you can communicate with somebody, but they have no intent to absorb what it is you are saying to them. And you can see it. You can see when you are communicating with someone, and you do not have their attention. And I think that when you break it down to what it is that communication is supposed to serve, what the purpose of it is our attention. So that was just
no, excellent point. What if God listened to us like we listen to him? Or like we listen to each other? And so, you know, sitting there and your wife's talking to you, just, yeah, I hear you. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 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 yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah, go ahead. They say, you know, you're like, hey, what does $1,000 come out of the account for? We was talking about that the other day. Oh, I didn't know I was agreeing to that. It's true. Here's the question. Are we really paying attention? Excellent comment, Brother Royce.
Before we dismiss, are we about ready to do
that? Yes, sir. Oh, I thought you had a comment.
Huh?
I thought you, oh, go ahead.
I did. I want to make, okay, we got that. Okay. Very quickly. I did something that then Leon did that we had been doing for a long time. When we read, we stand up. There's a reason for that. And I wish we'd reinstituted. We'll have to talk about it. Nobody's demanding that you do it, but it's really beneficial. Nehemiah chapter 8, I have this above that chapter. Chapter 8 is the deep reverence for God's word, his law.
That's right.
Listen to verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. The idea behind that is we give reverence to God's word. We're showing respect for God's word. But on top of that, if you don't have the strongest voice in the world, it helps project so that other people in this auditorium can hear you. So it just might be a good idea if we could do that.
Amen.
Start standing. When we're called to preach, just stand up real quick. In my case, I turn because I'm right up front and I'll be projecting here and it had to bounce off and hopefully hear it then. But if you're toward the back, you don't have to turn. Just stand up where you are.
Amen.
And it projects out well.